Let us turn now to the Word of God to consider together words found in the portion read from Psalm 119. And the words that we would seek to consider together are found in the verse 105. The verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Now, these words are undoubtedly, among other things, an expression of gratitude, I believe, on the part of the psalmist. He is acknowledging the goodness of the Lord to him, that he has this provision here, "Thy word is a lamp." He has this lamp that enlightens his path, "a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You read over in verse 133 of the same psalm, one of the psalmist's petitions, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Note those words, "order my steps in thy word." The psalmist doesn't speak of his path here, but his steps. You and I, to make any progress in the path that we are on, we make it by steps. The psalmist doesn't say, "order my path," or "order my way," or "the way that I take," but "my steps." Every step, let it be ordered in thy word. Thy word as my guide for every step, let it be a small step or a large step, every step to be under the influence of the word of God. Now that is a very spiritual petition, and if we were as spiritually minded as we ought to be, I am certain we would have that same desire. We are making our pathway, every one of us, through this life, and we do it by stages, step by step. And the psalmist here is concerned that no step would take him out of the way, no step would be going in the wrong direction, that every step would be influenced, every step he would take would be influenced by the word of God. And that is our wisdom. And young people should learn that valuable principle to guide them, and they should pray every day, "Order my steps in thy word." We don't know from one day to the other where we may be going or what we may be required to do, but this should be a petition before God. "Let my steps this day, every step I take, let none take me in the wrong direction, but let the word of God so abide in my heart and be fixed in my mind that it will influence my steps." But coming back here to the text before us in verse 105, the psalmist says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And as you've heard me say before, this psalm is so much about the word of God. It's described in so many ways as the commandments of the Lord, the law of the Lord, and the word of the Lord, and so on. And here, the psalmist is referring to the word of the Lord. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And it is very obvious that the psalmist is here declaring how dependent he is upon the word of God. He's very grateful that he actually possesses and is able to make use of this word. And we want to consider these words in the hope that they would be so applied to our hearts and our understanding that we would make the use of God's word that the psalmist does here. And in considering these words, the first thing that we may note is the great provision of which the psalmist speaks. Note what he says, thy word, thy word. This is not the word of men. And this is not the psalmist's word. This is a word that comes from beyond this world. It comes from God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is for my benefit that this word has been provided. And it is the great provision of God himself. Now, when you go to the Gospel according to John, in the first chapter of that Gospel, John tells us what was in the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, before ever man existed, the Word existed. The Word is eternal. The Word is not something that is merely invented in time or something that God produced in time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So the psalmist is talking about something that is in reality eternal. And the Apostle John tells us that this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word in verse 14 of John 1 was made flesh. Only God could possibly do this. The Word that was eternal, the Word that was God, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God was himself willing, ready, desirous to dwell among men. He wanted to influence men. And the Word then comes into this world made flesh so that men could respond to it. Men could recognize it, acknowledge it. God dwelling among men. Now, to contrast what this word is in contrast to the word of men, John draws attention here to the ministry of John the Baptist. And in the verse 6 of John 1, we read, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And there's no doubt about it, this is a messenger in the service of God, engaged in the service of God. He was sent from God. God sent him. God commissioned him. God authorized him. And he came to be a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And he's sent to, by God, to be a witness to the light, and this light is from the Word. In verse 4 we read, in him, that is the Word, that was God, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness. The light shineth in darkness. If you go out on a midsummer day, and the sky is blue, you're not aware sometimes of the sun because everything's bright and shining, there's no darkness. You would not be able to see the moon, the planets, but when darkness comes, when darkness falls, then the moon lightens up everything, and the light shines in the darkness. You don't put the electric light on in your living room in the middle of the day when it's light, because it's not needed. But you put it on when the darkness comes, the night falls, then you need the light, and the light shines in the darkness. And this is what John the Baptist was sent to testify to, of this word that was light to lighten men. Now, that clearly indicates for us the condition in which men are. They're in darkness. They don't need the light if they already have light. They need light because they're in darkness. The light shineth in darkness. This word that is light brings light into the darkness. And the word that became flesh, the light that accompanies that word and is from that word, comes to shine in the darkness in which men are existing. And John, when he's sent to bear witness to this light, we're told in verse 8 here, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, and so on. Now, John is telling us that the word that was with God in the beginning, the word that was God, that word was also light. So you have the word that is light. And John bears witness to introduce this word that is light, to speak about it, to declare it, to introduce it, as it were, but it is made clear by John, he was not that light. He was not that light. Now, later on, in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, he will declare, as he does in John 8, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the light that lightens every man. I am that light. So I am that word that was with God, and I am the word that became flesh to dwell among men, to bring light. But the Savior later will tell the apostles, before he sends them off into the world to preach the gospel, he tells them, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. John the Baptist says, he's not the light, he's not the true light, he just bears witness of the light. So, when the apostles are sent into the world as a light to the world, how can they be a light? And yet John wasn't that light. It is because, you see, they carry the light of the word. They go out into the world with the light of the word, the word that became flesh, that word that they carry with them is the word that will enlighten men in their darkness. And the psalmist here, going back to this portion of the word, says, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And what he is admitting here is this: if I did not have this word, I would be in darkness. That's what he's acknowledging. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Take away from me, deny me this word, and I'm in darkness. Now this brings before us just how important this word of which the psalmist is speaking, how important it really is. What a blessed provision for which we ought to be truly grateful, that God has given light in darkness. Thy word, men may teach us many things, they may instruct us in the great issues that they consider to be important in society, but nothing is the true light, as John says, but the Word of God. That is the true light. The Word brings light into the darkness in which men are dwelling by nature. This is God's provision. What a great crime it must be to ignore that word, to dismiss that word, to refuse to believe that word. It is no ordinary word. Thy word. How this word must be treated with the greatest reverence, with the deepest humility. Thy word. When we open our Bibles, when we read the scriptures, when we hear the word of God expounded, do we stand in awe of that word? Because it's God's word, the great provision that God has made. Do we consider the word of God to be a great provision? Are we thankful that we actually possess it? You think of all the efforts that men have made in the past to provide us with the scriptures, writing out the word of God, printing the word of God, some of them losing their lives in order that they might give to us today this word. And think of the multitudes who don't have it. They're in darkness, heathen darkness, pagan darkness, because they don't have the word of God. They dwell in darkness. We should be seeking to use whatever means we can to bring the word to men in darkness, because it is that word that is the true light and will bring light to them, light into their understanding, that their steps might indeed be ordered in the word of God. The second thing that should be obvious to us here is that this word of God, this great provision that he has made for us, it has a particular purpose. Why does God give to us his word? Well, we've already said, as John reminds us, darkness. Darkness is the condition in which men are dwelling. Spiritual darkness. They know not God. They're out of the way. They're lost in darkness. And it is this word that brings light to them in their darkness. That's the purpose of it, to shine on their behalf. God is light. John tells us there in 1 John and the first chapter of John and the verse 5, John tells us there that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This is a light that never goes out. This is a light that never diminishes. This is a light that is absolutely reliable. There is no light that can compare with this light. God is light. Now, go back to the book of Genesis, to the beginning, to the creation. And what did God say? God is light. And God said, let there be light. Is God saying, let me come into existence? Of course not. What God is saying is this, let there be light. Let, as it were, a manifestation of myself, a manifestation of who I am, and what I am, let the light that I am, the light that I possess, the light that I am from all eternity to infinity, let that light shine forth. Let the majesty and the glory and the beauty of who I am shine forth, and creation comes into existence to do what? To declare the glory of God. And when God said, let there be light, the light came because God spoke. God, the Word, brought light into, as it were, not into existence, but as it were, into view. God is light. But God manifests himself and therefore manifests his light. And it is through the Word that is made flesh that God particularly reveals the light of who he is. As Paul reminded the Romans, and as the psalmist says, the heavens, they declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. And all around us in creation we see evidence of the mighty power of God. But men, in spite of that, are still in darkness. It doesn't reveal everything that God requires us to know. The Word that was made flesh is the true light. It is the true light that men need. It's the true light that will enlighten them in their darkness. Creation, though it enlightens us to a certain degree regarding the creative power and keeping and sustaining power and wisdom of God, it takes more than that. Men are in darkness, that such darkness, they need more than that. They need a supernatural revelation of God who is light. And so here is the Word that is a revelation of God, that is a revelation of the light. And the psalmist is saying here, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's I who need this light. I need it. And God has provided it for the very purpose of enlightening my path. God reveals his grace. God reveals his mercy in speaking to me, revealing himself through his Word. Now you remember when we go back to the beginning, when God created man, there was communion between God and men. God came and walked in the garden and in the cool of the day. And Adam was happy and content there, listening to God, communing with his Creator, until he disobeyed and fell into sin. And then what happened? God, when he came, he had to call Adam, where art thou? Why? Because Adam was now hiding from God. He never had any reason to hide previously. It wasn't until he sinned that he felt the need to hide from God. He was afraid to meet God. He was ashamed to come before God. And God drove our first parents out of the garden in their shame and in their sin. And yet, this is the great provision that God makes. Thy Word, the psalmist says, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God has given this great provision for the purpose that poor men fallen in Adam, out of communion with God, the God who enlightened the mind, the understanding of Adam, God and Adam were friends, but now because of sin and disobedience, Adam is alienated from God, and as by one man's sin, death entered into the world, sin entered into the world, and all men are condemned in sin. They're all in darkness. And God could have left men that way, but what a great provision he makes. This Word, the psalmist says, is a lamp unto my feet. Here I am in the darkness of this world, the darkness of my understanding, my spiritual darkness, as one of the fallen sons of Adam's race, going through this world in the midst of darkness, yet what has God provided for me? He has provided His Word for the purpose of guiding me. What an amazing word this is. If we neglect it, we are the ones that will in the end suffer for it. God has given us His Word, and this is the reason He's given it. This is the purpose of it, to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Now the great question is, what do we think personally the purpose of the Word of God is? If it is not shining, as it were, unto our own path, if it is not a lamp unto our own feet, well, what other purpose does it have? Why, my dear friend, do you think you possess the Word of God today? What have you done with God's Word throughout this week? You have your Bible, it's been in your room, it's been by your bedside, wherever it has been. Yes, you've read portions out of a sense of duty. You wouldn't think of ending the week without having recourse to the Word of God to read it. But for what purpose? Why did you, my dear friend, why did you take up that Bible this morning or yesterday or throughout? Why did you take it up? Just so that you would not be troubled with a guilty conscience, neglecting the Word of God, neglecting to read it because of the profession you make. I'm a Christian, I'm one of God's children, I ought to read the Bible, and so on. What real purpose do you think the Bible has? What purpose has it for yourself? What light did you get from the Word of God this past week? How did that Word direct yourself? What purpose has the Word of God in your own personal life? And that brings us to the third matter, the personal advantage that this Word gives to the child of God. Here is one of the distinguishing marks of the children of God. Because where are they? They're in a world full of darkness. And the God of this world, as the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, the God of this world, what does He do? He blinds the minds of men, lest the light of the gospel would shine into their hearts and they would be saved. What does the devil hate? The light of the Word of God. And what will he seek to do? Blind the minds of men, so that they will, first of all, not appreciate the Word of God, and they will not make proper use of it. The devil is happy when he finds men neglecting the Word of God. That is what he endeavors to do. He doesn't want that Word to have influence upon them. He knows the light of that Word is going to be very profitable. And you can see the great battle of the Reformation for the Word of God, why it was so fierce, why men were persecuted, why they were killed and murdered and martyred as they attempted to get the Word of God into the hands of the people, because they knew if this Word comes into the hands of men, it is intended by God to enlighten them, and if they use it and they get light, they will not walk in darkness, they will refuse to walk in the darkness, and they will not kept in bondage and in slavery to the popish system that they were all, as it were, lying under. This Word would bring light to the minds of men. It would act as a lamp to guide them in the way that was right and would lead them out of the darkness into further light. And the psalmist is able to say, thy word, it's not neglected in my part. Thy word is, it is, this is what it is. Now, if we just stop for a moment and we just ask ourselves to repeat these words, thy word is, thy word is, and then continue honestly to say what it is. Would some of us have to say, thy word is a neglected word on my part. Thy word is sadly neglected in my life. Thy word is ignored. Yes, I can repeat verses out of the Bible. I have learned from heart, from a child, certain portions. I can repeat verses and I can repeat texts that I know are in the Bible. I know they're the Word of God, but I never put them into practice. Thy word is ignored by me. Thy word is not my lamp. Thy word is not my light. I would rather spend time reading novels or reading women's magazines or worldly literature. I get more joy out of that than reading the Word of God. I learn much of what the scientists tell us and the medical professionals tell us and all the other intellectuals tell us. I get a lot of light in my mind and my understanding from what I read from them. Their word does have a lot of light for me, but the Word of God, I have to be honest, it doesn't have the place it should have. And I don't take it up as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I am capable of going through life without it, neglecting it. I can manage. I'm clever. I'm smart. I know where I'm going. I've got goals and I'm aiming for them. I've got ambitions which I am intending to fulfill and accomplish. I don't need the Word of God. The psalmist is here speaking, as we said at the beginning, of his appreciation for the Word of God. Now, as I said earlier, this is one of the distinguishing marks of a true child of God. Because in the third chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus himself says in that chapter 3 of John, verse 20, or verse 19, I should say, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now you will see here what Jesus says. Men loved darkness rather than light. Light should be natural, but it's unnatural. Light is what men in their sin don't want. Why? Because they won't come to the light because their deeds would be reproved. Their deeds. Now if you and I are in darkness, spiritual darkness, as we are by nature, then we will know what it is to be reproved by the Word of God. We come to the Word of God, it reproves us because we're walking in darkness. When it sheds light onto our pathway, when it is a lamp to our feet, when we take it up as such a light, then it's exposing the way in which we are, the way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so because men love darkness, they're not going to love the light that exposes their darkness and their sin. This is their condemnation, that light has come into the world. It's made available to them. The light is there in the darkness for their use. And this is their condemnation, that they would rather have their darkness. They want to continue as they are. They don't want to be disturbed in their darkness. They want to continue. They love their darkness. That is natural to them. The light is what they resist because it is unnatural in a sense. If you had a little child born in a prison, never was outside that prison, grows up in that prison, knows nothing of the outside world, the prison life becomes natural. The captivity is, that's natural. And such a child, if it was to grow up as they did in the past, in some cases, going out into the world, it would be unnatural. They wouldn't be able to cope with it. It reminds me when I was a boy at school, at primary school, I remember the sensation of news. Everyone was following it and fascinated by it. And even as a child at primary school, the very children were amazed at listening to the teacher speaking of it. There was a woman, her name was Mrs. Penny. And she, like some others, fell into problems because she had an illegitimate little boy born out of wedlock, and the shame for her family among her neighbors. She tried to cover it, she tried to hide it, and so what she did was she put the little fellow into the hen house among the hens, or as you call them here, the chooks. And that little fellow was growing up knowing nothing else but the interior of that hen house among those hens. And when eventually he was discovered as a little boy, I think it was 5 or 6 years old, when somehow he was discovered, he couldn't even stand upright. He sat crouched all the time. The only noise that he could make, he couldn't utter one word. The only noise he could make was like the hens, the chooks that he lived amongst. He didn't know any other life. That was his natural environment, as it were. That's where he lived. He knew nothing else. He knew no other existence. And he just acted and behaved like the hens around him. And I can remember the talk whenever it was discovered and the poor woman was at court and sentenced to imprisonment for cruelty. But the people who took the little fellow in hand had to tenderly and compassionately and patiently try to teach him to speak, try to bring him out of what had been normal for him, what he knew, he didn't know anything different, anything better, and to try and then bring him into the world of light and knowledge and understanding, introduce him to human society, teach him to speak, teach him to stand up, teach him to walk. And that's, you see, how it is with you and I. We were born in sin, we were shapen in iniquity, and we love by nature darkness because that's where we're at home, as it were. But when God sees the misery that poor men are in their darkness, he sent his word, and the psalmist has taken it up. And this is what distinguishes him from those around him. Men loved darkness rather than light. So they don't want the word. They dismiss it. They don't feel they need it. They want to carry on in their sin. And therefore, when we hear the psalmist use the language that he uses, speaking with appreciation. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What does it tell us about him? This is a man who has experienced the regenerating power of the word of God. If he was left to himself, he would love his darkness. He would not appreciate this word. He wouldn't be wanting to make use of it. He wouldn't be saying, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. I'm walking not in darkness now. I'm walking in the light. This is what distinguishes the child of God from the child of darkness. This is the condemnation, John says, that light has come into this world. There it is. It's available. Men love darkness because they don't want their deeds to be exposed. They don't want to face their sin. So they leave the word of God aside. They don't want it to trouble them. They don't want the word of God to convict them. They don't want God's word as a lamp to expose their sin to themselves or before God. So they continue in darkness. But when the Spirit of God comes and works mightily in a soul in that darkness, then now they have an appreciation for the word of God they never had before. And the more light they get, the more light they want. And now they walk with confidence, and they're saying day by day, every time they open up God's word. Tell me, did you, when you opened up God's word, say, as here in verse 133, today, order my steps in thy word. Order my steps. I don't know where I might end up today. I don't know where my path will take me. I don't know what duties I may have to perform. But I want to be a child of light today. And I want to honor God. And I want every step I take, I want it to be ordered by thy word, because thy word is a lamp to my feet. Others may reject it, others may ignore it, but I cannot. I need it. I must have it. And thy word that God has provided, the word that he has provided for this very purpose, I'm going to use it for that purpose. You may get people coming to the word of God as historians, and they want to read Old Testament history and New Testament history, and they're interested in the record of Paul's life or even the life of Jesus. But it is not that they might themselves be influenced personally by it, that their lives would be molded by it. They don't take it as a lamp to guide them aright, and yet they are out of the way. You see, this lamp, if we're using it correctly, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, it will be the means by which we will discover whether we're on the narrow way that leads to God or whether we're in the broad way that leads to destruction. That the word of God will disclose to us what path we're on our way to eternity. We're on the path to ruin, or we're on the path to God. We're in the narrow way. The lamp of God's word is showing us that, or it is exposing to us that our footsteps are going in the wrong direction. And that's why the child of God comes to the light. That's what Jesus said. Men don't come to the light lest their deeds would be exposed. But the child of God comes to light. If there's anything wrong here, I want God to show me. If there's anything wrong in my life, if my feet are going in the wrong direction, I want God's word to show me the way I ought to be going, and to expose to me the wrong way in which I'm beginning to wander, expose my backslidings, expose my wanderings, expose any disobedience in me. Order my steps in thy word. Don't let me go out of the way. That's the cry. That's the prayer of the true child of God. And then, in the words that the psalmist uses here, you can see that he's clearly of a mind that without this word of God, he can't expect to make any progress. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I suppose many of the young people, the children of today, they maybe have difficulty in envisaging what it was like to depend in the past. There was no electricity, candles, oil lamps. Out in the country, the electricity came just after I was born to where I lived, and people depended on oil lamps and candles for light. But I can still remember the way in which we used, for example, what they called hurricane lamps, the glass cover over the flames so that the wind wouldn't blow it out. And out in the country, you would sometimes, you would hold the lamp, but you would move it and you would shine it onto your feet, or my mother, if she was carrying it, and my brother and I were walking side by side, she would shine it to where, now watch, we are going, don't walk into that water, don't trample into that mud. But then she would lift it to show ahead, the path that we were on, to make sure that everything was clear. And it had this twofold purpose, to keep us on the right path, but to keep us from trampling into mud or tripping over some obstacle. And the psalmist is saying here, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. So my, as I move in my daily life, the word of God is directing my footsteps, and it's a light unto my path. It shows me where I'm going. It shines ahead of me. And that's the way we should be making use of God's word, to show us to carefully take each step in the way of duty, but also to shine into the path ahead of us, to let us see where we're going. And where does the light of God's word show the child of God where he or she is going? They are going to glory. They are going to heaven. They're going in the path that Christ has trod before them. Now let's stop for a moment. We take God's word. You and I will take it. First of all, let us shine it upon our feet. Where are our steps taking us to? Young, dear young people, shine the word today unto those feet of yours. Where are they hastening to? What direction are those feet, those steps? You've got your ideas in your head about what you want to do and what you want to achieve, what you want to possess, and so on. Step by step, if you keep going, the word of God is showing you the steps you're taking, and if you keep taking them, where will they eventually lead you to? Will they lead you to ruin? Dear young people, your steps may be the steps of youth, the steps of children, but where are they going? Are they steps of disobedience? Are they steps of rebellion? Are they steps of defiance? Are they steps that gradually, slowly, are taking you away from God, away from the things of God, away in your mind from the means of grace, step by step? Now you see, you could take a step, and it's just a step. It's not a mile. It's not a kilometer, it's just a step. But then you take another step, still just a step, and another step. And it's apparently just steady, slow progress, step by step. Where are the steps taking you? Oh, the importance of steps, dear young people. You have to take steps in life. You have to make decisions. And you may think it's just a step. It's not my whole life. It's just a step. You have to ask, according to the word of God, is it a step in the right direction? or is it a step in the wrong direction? My path, the psalmist says, is enlightened by the word of God. That's how I make progress. I will not walk out of the light. I won't leave the light behind and go off without it. I won't set it aside and trust my own instinct. Learn this. If we are to make any spiritual progress, it has to be as we walk in the light. That's what John says. If we walk in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We cannot walk with God if we don't walk in the light. And when we walk in the light, we will know what it is to be rebuked. We will know what it is to be sometimes warned, because it sheds light on our very steps. But, very quickly, what is the proof then that we are walking in the light, that we are making use of God's word as personally, we're making personal use of it as a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path? Well, if this is the case, if we are doing that, it will become obvious. It will become very evident to ourselves and to others, because Jesus himself in John chapter 17, he prayed for his disciples, he prayed for his people, and what was part of his prayer, that petition, Father, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. When anyone takes God's word as a lamp to their feet, a light unto their path, it's going to make a difference. You are going to see progressive development in personal holiness and personal godliness. You will see the character of a true child of God becoming more and more Christ-like, because you see, Christ himself is the light. He's the word, and he orders the footsteps. Would we imagine, if we look back on the week that has passed, that Christ was ordering our footsteps? Was it Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who ordered the words that we spoke, who ordered the attitudes that we adopted, who took us in the direction we went? Or did Christ have to stand back and leave us to go our own way? Thy word, the word made flesh, the word that dwelt among men, the word that came into the darkness, child of God, when that word came into your darkness, it made a difference, and it must continue to make a difference, sanctifying, making you more holy, bringing you more apart out of the world, drawing you away out of it more and more, and drawing you to Christ and drawing you into him. What use have we been making of God's word? What proof is there in your life and in mine that that word is really having a sanctifying effect upon us, because it's shedding light on our footsteps, it's shedding light on our path, it's exposing to us our sins that grieve us and make us mourn and make us repent? What do we find profitable about the time we spend with the word of God? I'm reminded, I read a story of a dear old black Christian lady in America some years back. And she had a wayward son, and she used to be brokenhearted about him, his waywardness. His steps certainly weren't ordered in the word of God. But she prayed continually for him, and she sought to influence him all she could. But anyway, at one point, he was imprisoned. I don't know what he'd actually done, but he was in prison. And when he was in prison, he wrote a letter to his mother. And he said, "Mama, I'm badly in need of $500. Send me $500. Sometime later, he received a parcel in the prison, and it was a Bible, and a note on top of the Bible, and it said, "Son, you know I love you. Read your Bible and pray." And he became really angry. It wasn't a Bible he wanted, it was $500. And so he phoned his mother from the prison and he said, "Mama, I don't want a Bible. I don't need a Bible. It's $500 I need." That's the problem with you Christians. You're so heavenly minded. You're of no earthly use. "I need $500. And his mother said, "Son, read your Bible and pray." And he got so angry, he slammed the phone down. He wrote to her another time, begging her for $500. And he got a reply back as usual, "Son, read your Bible and pray." He was so angry, he just stuck the Bible into a corner and he ignored it. When his time for release came, his mother was waiting outside the prison to take him home. And he came out and he wasn't pleased to see her really. And he said, "Mama, I am really upset with you." And she said, "Why is that, my son?" He said, "I needed $500 and all you could do was send me a Bible." And she said, "Son, did you read your Bible?" "Yes, Mama, I read my Bible." And she said a second time, "Honestly, did you read your Bible? Did you pray?" "Of course I did, but it didn't do any good. It didn't provide $500 for me." And she said, "Son, give me your Bible." And he took it out of his baggage and he reached it to her and she opened it up. And at five different places in that Bible that she wanted him to read, she had taped $100 bill. $500 bills were in five different places taped to texts of the Word of God she wanted him to read. And she showed it to him, said, "Son, you didn't read your Bible, you didn't pray." And there he was, embarrassed and ashamed and exposed as dishonest and deceitful. If he had read his Bible, his problems would have been solved. But he ignored God's word, and the loss was his. You and I, if we ignore God's word, the loss is ours. May you and I, dear young people, dear boys and girls, learn this important lesson. God has purposed to give us light. We must make use of it. If we don't use God's word aright, we're going to most definitely go astray. We're going to wander. People will influence us. Clever people will direct us here and direct us there. But this is what we must learn, to pray this way as the psalmist did. He learned, as in verse 130 here, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." The entrance or the opening of thy words, they give light. And therefore he prays, "Order my steps in thy word." What a blessed petition to begin every day with. And when you, dear young people, are not sure, what should I do here? I'm at a crisis point. Should I go to the left or the right? Should I go forward or go back? What should I do? Pray this way, "Order my steps in thy word," and take God's word and use it as a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. May God give to us a true appreciation for his word. May we be in it day by day. May we be shining it on our path to make sure we're not in the broad way, but that we're in the narrow way, that we're walking with Christ, that He is the light that is enlightening our darkness. May God bless His word. Let us pray. Our gracious and eternal God, we give Thee thanks that Thou hast given to us such a blessed provision, the Word of God. In all our darkness, we are left without excuse if we perish in it, for we have Thy holy Word as a lamp and as a light to guide us aright. O, grant us, by the teaching of Thy Spirit, to be praying day by day, hour by hour, that our footsteps would be ordered in Thy Word. Hear us, receive us graciously, and pardon us and all for Christ's sake. Amen.